Ed Hamilton here, hoping I get drafted soon.
All right, we're back here on Liquid Gold, a feature we do every other week where we do shots.
It's called
Shots. All right, we are brought to you by We Own This Town. That's our theme song for Shots. It's pretty simple.
We're still working on it.
Brevity is the soul of wit. We do this every other week where we just hit a quick topic. Today is very exciting. We have the Minister of Rum, Mr. Ed Hamilton, in-house.
Welcome, Ed.
Welcome, Ed.
Thanks. I'm not actually the Minister of Rum. I'm the Administer of Rum.
The Administer of Rum. All right, I like that.
To be the Minister of Rum would imply that I have some authority. I have no authority.
I guess people would have to vote for you.
And I would be responsible. No, ministers of different things are generally appointed offices. But it would imply that I have some responsibility. I am not responsible.
Just responsible for bringing great rum here to Nashville. And we're very excited. It's Tiki Month on Liquid Gold. And we have Chopper is opening here soon. We're right before the NFL draft here, of which Ed might be the fourth round selection, I think, of the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are looking at him at the tight end role. So that's exciting. So hopefully you get drafted this week. But today on Shots, we are going to talk about the Tea Punch, which is a simple cocktail that has possibly become maybe associated with you and the way to kind of get into the day of drinking in the Caribbean, drinking rum, specifically in Martinique. But we are drinking some really special rum right here. What are we drinking right now? What did you just pour?
This is Nissan Vu par Nissan. This is aged 36 months in cognac barrels and then finished 8 months in American bourbon barrels.
Awesome.
Probably from a distillery within 100 miles of here.
Wow.
That's all of them.
So we brought it back. Well, it's got such a vibrant nose.
Yeah, so this is 102 proof. Mm. They tend to bottle these at close to cask strength. Cask strength was a little more than this, but they brought it down just a little bit. But at 102 proof, you get a lot of character there. And then if you add a little bit of water, it opens up very nicely. But I love the rums from Nissan, and Gregory and his family have done a magnificent job of working to make good white rum and then aging it in all kinds of different barrels, cognac and different formats of toast and such, to end up with something that it's quite drinkable.
It's pretty clean.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Pretty clean.
It's like, very elegant.
Yeah, very velvety. Yeah.
Elegance, the word that I use more than any other to describe Nissan rums, and that's part of the reason I bring them in. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy. I love them.
It's beautiful. I get a lot of like lemongrass. There's something kind of floral to it, but it's very pure. It's like a nice linen suit. Really pretty. Now,
or
is this
velour jumpsuit?
There you go.
Like a really good one.
Yeah.
That you didn't sleep in last night.
He knows you well.
Dang.
So is this a rum that you would make? Is this a rum that you would make a tea punch with?
No.
Or is this a little too nice? Yeah.
No. So they call it a punch vu if you make it with aged rum. I drink the old rums like this straight. The tea punch is typically made with 100 proof white rum. And you start with just a little piece of lime, a slice off the side of a lime, a little bit bigger diameter than the bottle cap of the bottle of rum, a little bigger than that. Mm-hmm. Squeeze and drop, no muddling, no pounding or anything like that.
So it's a tiny bit of citrus juice,
a tiny bit
of lime juice. Yep.
You might get a drop. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's mostly the skin of the lime. Mm-hmm. If you try to make a tea punch with a wedge of lime, it'll end up being bitter.
Yeah.
Because the bitterness is leached from the meat of the lime by the 100-proof spirit. The 100-proof spirit doesn't leach much bitterness from the rind of the lime. Mm-hmm. But you drop the lime in, then you pour a little bit of sugarcane syrup over the top of that, maybe a quarter of a bar spoon or so, and then you add an ounce and a half, ounce and three quarters of rum to that over the top of that. Stir it a little bit. I always take a sip of it, and then maybe add ice, a cube or two of ice to that, let it melt a little bit, and it blossoms. Mm-hmm. Became one of my favorite drinks a long, long time ago, back in the 80s. I was fortunate enough to be in Martinique, and tasted it. And it was served by a beautiful woman after a sailboat race from France. I didn't participate in the race. I just happened to be there. Mm. And the different distilleries were serving people. And because I was an American, they wanted to introduce me to the Tiponche. And I was introduced, fell in love with it.
Wow.
And then was fortunate enough years later to become the importer of two of three now of the distilleries from Martinique.
That's a beautiful thing. And it's the kind of drink that I would imagine, too, opens up the rum as you drink it, changes. You know, it's sort of a little bit of a journey.
Right. When you add some ice, it blossoms. So in Martinique, they say it blossoms like a young Creole girl on the beach.
Wow.
It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the U.S., I love to add a little bit of ice to it. It prolongs the length of the drink.
What sort of ice do you like to, do you prefer to use? Ed? We do talk about ice a lot here.
Yeah, I like a good size cube out of the freezer, frozen really hard, clear, mm-hmm. if I can get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as anal as some of my friends in the industry, like Sorry Camper. I don't have clear ice spheres in my freezer at every moment.
Chill out, camper.
It's okay. We'll get over it. Yeah. But a good cube. Now, for bars, I recommend they put in a nice big cube and then just a little bit of crushed ice or smaller cubes so that it will melt a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because in America, when we hand someone a drink, they grab it and start drinking it. When I make a Tiponche at home, I make it, set it on the counter, and then I do something else and come back to it in a minute and let it blossom a little bit. But the idea of the Tiponche being a Tiponche is a little punch, mm-hmm. is that it's just a little bit of lime and a little bit of sugar to complement the rum, not to cover it up.
Mm.
Like a Caipirinha, where you start out with a lime or two and muddle them with a lot of sugar,
mm-hmm.
you're basically covering up the base spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Here, just a little bit of sugar, a little bit of lime, and in my experience, the more people drink a Tiponche, the less sugar, the less lime they use.
Mm-hmm. That's great to know because Kenneth and I, bartenders here in Nashville for a long time, we have made a ton of old fashions in our time. And it's just that drink Certainly. That doesn't really go away. It's always around, whether it's bourbon, whether it's rye. Rum old fashions have become a thing, I'd say, the last couple of years. Even the Mezcal old fashioned, I feel like the Mezcal old fashioned in this part of the country is probably the closest thing to the Tiponche. People like to kind of drink Mezcal with just a few other things to, as you say, kind of blossom it, open it up. But I love that there's a romance to the way that they make rum and the way that they're drinking rum down there. So what originally drew you to Martinique in particular?
Well, Martinique was just one of the islands in the chain between Puerto Rico and Trinidad. April of 93, I was heading south to hopefully go to Trinidad, and I was at a full moon party, and people were doing what they do on the islands at the full moon party. When the moon rose over the east, I raised my glass of rum, and the reflection of the rum of the moon through the bottom of the glass was like a flash of light. And I had this moment that I said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not just going to sail down the islands this time. I'm going to visit all the distilleries and learn about as many of these rums as I can. And then I really got into the different styles and different distilleries. I'd been to Martinique before, but I didn't know that at that time there were 7 distilleries on Martinique making rum agricole. That was a little more than I could bite off in my first trip south. But a few months later, I was coming back after hurricane season and started visiting all the distilleries and learning more about it. And it was interesting, as you visit places, they would ask about the other distilleries. And one man in particular, Andre De Paz, used to invite me into his big mansion. And he would say, Ed, where did you go today? And I'd tell him, and he'd say, and what lies did they tell you today? So it is a voyage of discovery, and mm-hmm. It was interesting to piece all the pieces together, very much like in this part of the country. You guys know all the whiskeys and most of them where they came from.
Sure.
10 years ago, there were, 4 or 5 big companies mm-hmm. doing in virtually everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the rest of the country didn't know that.
Yeah.
And as people started.
And most of them were like blends of neutral grain spirit.
Right.
Just garbage.
Stuff that wasn't even talked about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then Beam bought Krugen. And wow, we can get neutral grain spirit from the Caribbean at a good price. So, wow, let's do this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't think for a minute that Beam really wanted a rum company.
It just made sense. They said, wow, we can do this. This is going to work.
Now, Ed, were you raised on the island life? Or, like, where'd you come from? What did your parents do?
I grew up in Florida. My dad was a preacher. My mom was a nurse. Yeah, my mom was a nurse.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, they were great people. Dad passed away last year.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. He had a good life. 89. Huh. So, can't complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up around the water, learned to sail in Florida. And when I was in college in Tampa, I met a guy one day that was building a 24-foot sailboat or rebuilding a 24-foot sailboat. I'm pretty tall. I wouldn't fit very well in a 24-foot sailboat.
Yeah, you are a large man.
Well,
that's why he might get drafted this weekend.
It's daunting how large you were. I was
over the
very
middle
intimidated.
For a pass.
I was incredibly intimidated meeting you, shaking your hand.
So
I had to square up to you, actually. Like.
I wish I could think of the quarterback's name. There's a couple of them that are 6'5 and 248.
Terry Bradshaw.
Well, Terry's not 6'5.
He's probably shrank a little bit.
Yeah. The guy plays for South Carolina, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
So I'm shocked every time I see Cam's stats, 6'5", 248. I go, I'm 6'5", 250.
But draft worthy.
I'm draft worthy in some drafts, in some league somewhere. I'm a little too old for that. But I met this guy, a guy that was building this 24-foot sailboat, and he says, you know, between here and South America, you only have to sail 80 miles in open ocean to get to South America. And I thought, wow, I can do that.
Yeah.
Why not? I can do that.
Wow.
Well, it turned out that, yeah, it's 80 miles, but it's 80 miles to windward in a small boat in big seas. It's a pain in the ass. So I ended up on a 38-foot sailboat many years later. Got lucky and quit a job that I had in Chicago and ended up, a boss convinced me that I was a horrible employee. I ought to do something else. So I quit my job and 5 years later, he asked me to, what's your five-year plan? I said, go sailing. He says, okay, what are you going to do to make that happen? I said, oh, I quit. That was kind of the end of that conversation. But I ended up on a 38-foot sailboat and went to the Caribbean and was able to make it work for 20 years. And I'd still be there except a man in Chicago convinced me that I ought to start importing rum. And he gave me a little bit of a bankroll, actually a line of credit. And that dissolved in 2009. I learned about banking. I'm a sailor. I'm an engineer. I'm not a banker.
Yeah.
But I was lucky. I was lucky. And I was because I had a background in engineering, I was able to approach distilleries, learn about the different processes, get some understanding, and then pick really good rums. And
yep.
Fortunately, today I've got a portfolio that I'm really proud of. And guys like yourself like to pour it. So
yeah.
Here I am.
That's exciting. Yeah, it's an exciting time here in Nashville. We're going to be pouring a lot of rum here over the next coming years. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Shots.
It was more like a lot of shots there. A
couple shots.
Yeah.
Where we talked about the tea punch, we will feature this recipe or a recipe for the tea punch on our Instagram @liquidgold_pod. And thanks to Michael Eads, our producer, for my co-host, Mr. Kenneth Deadman.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for Ubering it over here and scooping me up.
Yeah, it was fun.
My name's Mike Wolf. Thanks to Ed Hamilton here for talking tea punch with us. And we will see you next time.
Later, Taylor.
Brought to you by We Own This Town.